Hi, it's Liz Jansen, and I'm excited to share my interview with Tammy Perry. When we first talked with Tammy in January, she was getting ready to leave her position as an e-learning specialist with Memorial University Medical School in Newfoundland and move to Guatemala. She was leaving her job, had sold her house and possessions, and was all set to go. Now, 6 months later, we're checking in with her to see how things have gone. Let's see what she has to say. Welcome back, Tammy. When we talked to you in January, you were just headed for Guatemala for like a big adventure, picking up and moving to Guatemala. And now it's the beginning of July. And so we said we'd check back in 6 months. And here we are checking in. Great to see you. The scenery is a little different this time.
It is. It's much nicer.
And Newfoundland, that's where you were from before.
Newfoundland's beautiful and magical, but it's cold.
Well, okay. But we were just talking prior to starting this, and you've had a big earthquake there. I don't know that you have earthquakes in Newfoundland. What happened last night?
The earthquake was first thing this morning, okay. At sunrise. So it was about probably 5:30 this morning. I was awake, you know, how you lie in bed and you're not quite ready to get up. I generally get up early here, and I felt a rumble and I thought, oh, it's an earthquake. And you get a fair amount. There's been 100 and some odd earthquakes this year, in Guatemala. So, but then it got really, really shaky. The whole house started to go, and I jumped up, and then it was done. So that was the extent of the excitement for the earthquake. But there's been a whole lot of damage. It was a 7.1, so there's damage in Mexico. There's been a landslide back here. It's my roommate coming in right now.
There's another rock slide.
Yeah. Do we got to get out?
No.
Okay. Another rock slide. He's been running. This is my roommate Colin. He's been running around with the camera recording all the excitement. There's been a couple people have died in Guatemala, and an airport's been destroyed, and a bunch of houses are gone, and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
You're in Guatemala, but you're in a remote area. You're in the highlands, you're in the jungle. And so we're working with some limited internet capabilities here. So we're going to do what we can, but we really want to hear. I want to hear how it's been going with you. And you said it's been really exciting, so I can't wait to hear about it.
It's been quite exciting. I believe when I spoke to you last, my house was sold, and I had a contract here in Lake Atitlan. And I left my job or was just leaving my job, and it worked out really well for the place I was working, because they were having financial difficulties, and for me going just meant they didn't have to lay anybody off right then. They've since had to lay off 4 people.
Oh, wow. Good move. Good move, Tammy.
So 2 days before I left, I was at the lawyer's office signing over the house papers when I got a phone call, and the guy who was buying the house decided not to.
Oh. Yeah.
2 days before my plane ticket.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, plan B, and I put an ad in the paper to rent my half of the house. There's actually renters in the basement, and so that left room to rent where I was living. So I got that ball in motion, and got on the plane, and I got here, and I brought my daughter with me. My 19-year-old daughter, Tiana, came with me. She was here for 3 months. When I got here, the contract that I had come here to do got postponed.
Oh, no.
I said, great, that's no problem. We'll just kind of wait for it to come around. Well, Liz, it never did come around.
Oh, my goodness.
No, for whatever reason, the client just put the project off and off and off. And so I've been scrambling around looking for contracts, doing other things. And I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and there's work coming, but right now there's not much.
Well, that's exciting. And you're going to be staying in Guatemala?
Yes. Now I have, as soon as, my house will sell eventually, it's got to.
Right.
And once it's because my plan was to buy a motorcycle right away so that I could get around Guatemala, but I haven't been able to do that because the house didn't sell. So
Right.
I haven't had a motorcycle since October.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, do you remember how you felt at the time when we last talked before you were moving? How was that? And when you look back on it now, was it validated?
Oh, entirely. I'm really glad to be here, and I can't imagine myself living full time back in Canada. I can't imagine it. I
Yeah.
was meant to live here. It's such a beautiful place, and the weather's perfect, and the people are wonderful. And I just it's like I was meant to live in a climate in a place like this for sure.
Yeah. So you arrive in Guatemala with your daughter and your suitcases. What was your biggest challenge right off the bat?
Biggest challenge, I would say adapting to the bugs would
Oh.
be the biggest challenge. Yeah, adapting to the bugs. Well, my daughter, I'm not so bad with spiders and things like that, but I had never been around scorpions before. And there was a scorpion in the bathroom. I wasn't here a week, and there was a big scorpion in the bathroom. So it just took a mental adjustment. They don't come running at you or anything. They're like any other bug. They go the other way and try to hide, so it's
Right.
not like they're vicious predators or anything like that. So once you get a handle on that, then it's all really easy. But when you're from a country that doesn't have any stinging, house insects like that, it was a bit of adjustment. But other than that, everything's been really easy.
Yeah. And what
Yeah.
was the biggest, surprise, I guess, or pleasant surprise?
Oh, let me think. Pleasant surprise would be when the rainy season started. I was really expecting a whole lot of rain. I was expecting crazy, crazy amounts of rain and rain every day, like I'm used to. I'm from St. John, New Brunswick, and it was rainy there all the
Yeah, I suppose
time.
it's all relative when they say rainy season. You've come from a rainy season.
Exactly. I come from a rainy place. So, I mean, it's rainy season now and it's bright blue sky and sunny and beautiful out. The skies open up for an hour or two around 4 o'clock and that's it.
Wow. So, what have you been doing? How you've been there 6 months now.
Yep.
Yeah. How, did it take long to get adjusted? And how have you been spending your time other than looking for work?
I do a lot of that. Do a lot
Yeah.
of looking for work. You know how that goes. You got to work on your resume. You got to put your, feelers out there. So I'm online a lot looking for work. But otherwise, I'm up early and to bed early every day. I wasn't here for 4 days, Liz, and I met somebody that I've been dating. So I've been spending my time doing some dating.
Nice. 4 days, you say? Four
Yeah, I
days?
wasn't here 4 days. Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, he had a motorcycle on a boat in the middle of the lake.
Oh.
And I was on a boat in the middle of the lake.
Okay, and that's how you met?
And that's how we met.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been doing some hiking. Do a lot of kayaking. There's kayaks to rent here, and I've been all over the lake kayaking. And I've been to a couple of the local ruins sites, the Mayan pyramids and Mayan temples and things like that, a couple of ones. And then my sister came to visit for a
Oh,
month.
nice.
Well, my daughter left after 3 months, and then my sister came to visit, and we went to Tikal and we
Yeah.
went to Smok Champeh. I've got videos on YouTube of that trip.
Okay.
And then we went to Rio Dulce, and And it's just been an adventure. I mean, I went swimming in underground rivers with a candle in a cave, you know.
Wow.
And I jumped in the same river and floated down the river. And I went to the Tikal ruins, and the Yaksha ruins are just, it's awe-inspiring. It's amazing how huge and how huge these cities are, and that
yes.
the roads are intact after thousands of years. You know, these roads are, you walk on them.
Yeah, I've been to Tikal. I've been to Tikal many years ago. Yeah. What about so what is it like now, the standard of living, the whole everything, the culture is so different than where you came from?
I'm in a town called Jibalito, and it is the poorest village in Guatemala. The amount of money that people make here is the lowest in Guatemala, and I'm clarifying that because it's not as poor as some other areas I've seen as far as housing and things like that. I've seen worse, but people here don't make any money. People with full-time jobs make about 100. People with full-time jobs and a good income make about 500 quetzales a week. And that would be about 500 quetzales would be about, let me see, about $75.
Wow.
So they make about $75 a week.
And so your living is different. Your house is different than where you came from, I imagine.
Oh, definitely. Well, there's no, the house I'm living in now is, it's a beautiful spot. I mean, I've got these mountains behind me, and I've got the volcano and the lake in front of me. It's and there's a beautiful garden, and there's fruit trees and macadamia nut trees and banana trees. And I mean, it's amazing. But the house itself is, it has a wooden top. There's no insulation. You can see right through the walls. I can see the jungle through the cracks between the boards, you know.
Okay.
It's not...
Yeah.
It's meant to breathe.
Yeah.
And downstairs, there's no hot running water in the sink, and you can't drink the water because it's not treated. So even though it's beautiful spring water off the mountains behind here, it's there's still too many microbes and you know, Giardia and stuff like that in it. So you can't drink it. You've got to boil it first. And the shower, we call it the suicide shower. It's an electric, it's a mini electric heater inside a shower head.
Oh my God.
So there's literally electrical wires running from the wall into the shower head.
Oh my.
And it heats the water as it comes out of the shower head.
I see.
They call it the suicide shower. You don't touch it while you're showering.
No. Okay.
But it's a hot shower, which is a luxury here, right?
Yeah.
The locals don't have hot showers.
Yeah.
Locals just go down to the lake and bathe, you know?
So how have you been accepted there as being, I mean, you're a complete outsider moving in there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fellow named Hans who has a restaurant and a sort of a youth hostel type of thing. And he's the main industry, I would say, in Jibalito. There's only about 1,000 people here. And he employs between 10 and 15 local people at the restaurant and his youth hostel and that kind of thing. So the expats, all the gringos and gringas, tend to go to Hans's to meet up and chat and that sort of thing. And it's a little bit of people have come to accept us white folks coming, and you know, and Hans's gives you kind of a friendly place to go. But my Spanish is still horrible. I've been learning, but it's quite slow. I'm blaming it on age.
I'm trying to learn Spanish too.
It's really great to know. And I did take a week of morning classes in Spanish, and I did learn a lot. But I'm still having a hard time conversing with people.
Mm-hmm.
Brain just goes dead as soon as someone starts talking to me in Spanish. It just goes bloop.
You just have to practice, I guess.
Yeah. But I like to when the town has two streets. So when I walk through to go to my friend's place or I walk through to get to Hans's, there's always kids in the street and they've all gotten to know me. So they'll come over and touch me. They'll run over and touch me and then I'll run after them and tickle them. And they love that. They love that kind of interaction. There's a couple ladies that sell jewelry and cloth and stuff on the main street, and I always stop and say buenos dias and hola, and I always get big smiles and that kind of thing. But on the weekends, the young fellas in town like their drink. They like to get drunk, and I don't feel comfortable at all going through town by myself on a Friday or Saturday night. Doesn't happen. It's like any other community where you get a bunch of drunk teenagers together. Yeah, not safe. Not safe at all. Not just not the kind of crowd you want to be going through at night.
So what is it that you love so much about it there? You say you don't want to, you can't picture moving back to Canada full time. Well, so what's got you there?
There's something about you're living so close to the earth here. You're living so close to nature here, and everything is so simple, right down to
Internet.
right down to the internet. Everything is so simple, and the food I eat is grown within, there's the 100 mile and people. Well, I could probably go with 100 feet. Stuff is grown right here in the village. So, tomatoes and corn and stuff like that is all, it's all right here. Most of the fruit, like the breakfast I had, the granolas made in-house. I had granola and yogurt and fresh fruit, and it's all grown and made right here. If not right here, in the next community, And everybody's just really happy in a very simple life. Even the other gringos here, we all own about two pairs of pants, and that's it. So you see everybody in the same clothes all the time, and nobody even questions that. It's like, where at home there's this thing to have more and more and more, and here everybody's the opposite. It's I want less and less and less. Everybody tries to get rid of stuff, and you don't want to have, lug around belongings and material possessions and things. So, yeah, it's quite beautiful.
And it must
And
be.
the weather. And the weather. I can't tell you enough how perfect the weather is. I mean, it was 10 degrees when we started the call. I haven't checked it again here in a minute. But it's oh, it's 13 now.
And it's still morning. It's still early.
It's still early in the morning here, but it doesn't feel, I'm not cold. It's a different kind of thing. 13 degrees here is totally different than 13 degrees back home.
And I can hear birds in the background too.
Oh, the jungle here is totally alive with birds and dogs and roosters.
We haven't heard any roosters. That's great.
It's a little late for roosters, but there's got to be 40 of them in the village, and when they go,
Oh my goodness. Oh wow.
everybody gets up early.
Okay. So what's next for Tammy? What's
Well, like I said, I have a few irons in the fire as far as work goes. So once I start getting a more steady, I mean, I've had little jobs here and there, but once I get a more steady income, I'm going to look at house sitting across Guatemala. And when my house sells, I'll buy a motorcycle to get there. I'm going to house sit all over the country. So I lived in Newfoundland for 10 years and I learned every nook and cranny of Newfoundland on my bike, and I want to do the same thing here in Guatemala. And then I'll be going south more than likely and heading and checking out, Chile and Peru and Argentina and all those places that are calling.
On your motorcycle.
On my motorcycle. It'll be a little 200 Chinese bike.
Nice. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll meet up on the road down there. You never know.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that'd be awesome.
I think it would be awesome too. And you'll probably have better Spanish skills than I at the, by that point.
Oh, Liz, I sure hope so, but it is difficult. It has been really difficult. I don't know. Well, partly because there's so many gringos to talk to that I don't have to speak Spanish.
Right. Now, you mentioned at the beginning of this, when we started talking, that you loved it down there, and you wouldn't change it, even though you encountered some unexpected, things have not gone as you planned at all, right? So somebody listening to this might think, oh my God, like you've got the initial reservations about going in the first place, and then look what can happen. Yet you say you're happy, you love it down there. What advice do you have for people? That are thinking about it and think that their heart is calling them. Should they go? Or what happens if my job falls through or my house does, all those things. What's your
All
what?
those things happened. All the things that could have gone wrong went wrong. Every last one of them. But the advice I have is that it all breaks down. I know it sounds cliche, but money doesn't buy you happiness. Happiness comes from inside you. And my sense of freedom generally makes me very happy. And I feel very, very free here. There's nothing here that's stopping me from doing anything. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. So even though I'm literally, and I'll reveal my monetary status at the moment, I'm living on less than $300 a month here.
Wow.
And I'm happy.
And you're happy.
I'm happy as a clam. I don't have anything. And it costs to get a bus here, it costs, $20 if I wanted to go to another city to look around or do some touristy stuff. And I can find hotels for $12 a night, $15 a night. So, you can go very far in a country like this where on little money. And the other thing is that I have really good friends here. I have an old friend here whom the original contract was with. And he's been fabulous, of course. It's been wonderful. And I have new friends. You make friends very quickly. And nobody here is ever going to let you go hungry. Nobody's ever going to let you go without a place to sleep. And it's like any small community. Everybody gets together and helps each other out. Everybody does a little volunteer work at the school. And everybody does a little volunteer work with the garbage program. And, everybody. There was a girl sick in town, and everybody kind of chips in to, make sure she's got some hot soup and she gets into the doctor and all that stuff. So, it's just a lovely feeling. But I mean, most small communities are like that. It just so happens here that the place is gorgeous.
Well, so your advice then is to go if somebody wants to
Oh, go
try
for it.
something.
What's the worst thing that could happen, Seriously, picture what's the worst thing that could happen? And then what do? You can, my original thought was, well, if it all fell through, I'd just go home, but I don't even need to. It's cheaper for me to live here than it is home, so it makes more sense to stay here,
Well, you're sounding great, Tommy, and
Thank you.
especially after you've been through that earthquake. I keep expecting to hear a knock on the door and say, you got to get out of here. So,
If they do, they're just waiting on the, if they do, it'll be women and children first, and then the guys will lock everything down, and then who knows what happens from there. But
Okay, and that's because of the landslide threat, because you're on a hill.
that's right. We're looking around me. It's like I'm in a big bowl, and we're at the bottom of the bowl. So if stuff comes down, there's nowhere to go. So they like everybody to make sure that they're out of the bowl before they start dealing with the landslides.
Well, I wish you all the best. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. So let's keep in touch. I want to follow where you're going and what's happening with you, because this certainly is an adventure. And
And as soon as I get a bike, I'll be contacting you because I'll be running around town going, whoop, whoop.
Okay, sounds good. Take care,
Right.
Tammy.
Okay, bye, Liz.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to my interview with Tammy Perry. Her experience shows that life doesn't always deliver what we expect, and even when things go about as wrong as they can, there's always a gift in the chaos. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this interview, so please leave them in the comment section below. For regular updates, tips, and advice, and to follow my motorcycle trip through North, Central, and South America, head over to lizjansen.com, where the road meets spirit. Sign up to get new articles delivered right to your inbox. Until next time, safe travels wherever your road leads.